Okay, so we are here learning Hedrin Perek Chelek, it's Daf Kuf Gimel, and we come to a new piece. Let's go down to the bottom, Kuf Gimel. We have here four categories of people who do not receive the Shechina. Right, what this has to do with Olam Haba, we need to think. But there are a few things we need to ask here, right? Why these four categories of people, what they have in common, why they're all put together, why they do not receive the Shechina, what they're doing in Perek Chelek, which is really not talking about receiving the Shechina, but rather losing a share in the world to come. And finally, what they have to do with idolatry, Avodah Zarah, because here we're dealing with the kings who were terrible idolaters, right? Yerovam and Menashe and Achav and these terrible people. So if they were people who worshipped idols, so then there's going to be some... Those are the questions we're going to have to answer, right? So that's how to learn a sugya like this, to learn an issue like this, we want to understand the thing itself, what the central point is, how it fits into the context in the broader sense, right? How it fits into the context of this world and the next, and how it fits into the context of idolatry. Right, so let's understand. Let's see if we can take this and understand it. You go down to Amarav Chizda Amarav Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba. This is, we have heard him before, of course. The simple reason this piece is here. The simple reason that this piece is here, because it's the same Mando Amar we had before. But we need more than that. And he said like this, Arba kitois ein mekablois pnei shechina. There are four groups of people that do not receive the face of the Shechina. The Shechina means Hashem's presence in the world, right? In other words, to bring Hashem into the world, that is, he should manifest in the world. Shechina, from the language of Shachin, he dwells here in the world. So you are not receiving the Shechina, you have no relationship with Hashem in this world if you belong to these four groups. Right? Kat leitzim, Kat Shakronim, Kat Chanefim, Kat Masapre Loshon Hara. The group of Leitzim, scoffers and mockers, Kat Shakronim, liars, Kat Chanefim, people who are flatterers, and Kat Masapre Loshon Hara, people who are talkers of Loshon Hara. Masapre Loshon Hara, by the way, does not mean somebody who once happened to say a word of Loshon Hara, right? Masapre Loshon Hara, like it's referred to elsewhere, Baale Loshon Hara. That means people who are habitually talking Loshon Hara. That means that's their mode. You don't lose your relationship with the Shechina when you once accidentally said something unkind about your mother-in-law or whoever you might say something unkind about. That is not... We're talking about a Mesapel Lashon Hara. That means a person who is... like he's a scoffer, so this person is a person who talks Lashon Hara, right? Such people whose mode is that, they are not receiving the Shechina in the world. Diksiv, how do we know this? First of all, let's quote the source. Meshech Mashach Yado es Leitzitzim, because it says Kat Leitzim. How do you know that? How do you know that mockers and scoffers in the world, people who belittle, break down dignity in the world? Right? They take the glory, the honor of a thing, and they break it down. That's what mockery is. How do we know? Because it says Mashach Yado es Leitzitzim. Hashem, so to speak, withdraws his hand from the mockers. So the verse very clearly indicates that somebody who is into mockery, Hashem withdraws from him. Kat Shakronim, liars, Diksiv, because it says, Devesh Karim lo yikoin leneged einai. People who talk lies will not dwell in front of my eyes. Right? And that, of course, you remember, we referred to previously this Gemara, when the Ruach Navoit, remember Ruach Navoit wanted to go down and cause false prophecy, which is a lie. So Hashem said, fine, leave. In other words, exit my presence, because you're a liar. So that cannot live in front of Hashem. Kat Chanefim, flatterers, because in front of Hashem a flatterer will not become, cannot come. So that, you know, somebody flatters people. Flattery means to say you're good when you're bad. That's a flatterer, right? Don't get confused with liars. Liar says something that's not true. A flatterer is more than a liar. He's not just saying a lie. That's not the problem with flattery, right? Again, when you say to a bad person you're a good person, you're telling a lie. That's covered already. We're talking about the fact that you're saying to a bad person that you're a good person. Somebody does bad, and he turns to you and he says, how was that? And you say, that was fine. That's flattery. You should be criticizing him, and you're letting this person think that what he did was good, and in fact what he did was bad, right? That is a very, very special problem of chanifa. How do we know that that is not good? Ki loy lefon of chanef yavoy. Because in front of him, a flatterer will not come. And finally, katna sapre lashon hara. How do we know that a person who is habitually talking lashon hara does not receive the Shekhinah? Diksiv ki loy keil chafetz resha ata. Because Hashem, you are not a God who wants evil. Loy yegurcha ra. Because evil will not dwell with you. Right? Loy yegurcha ra. You will not tolerate evil to be with you. Tzadik ata velo ye b'megur charai. Namely, you are righteous, and in your dwelling area will not be evil. Now, where did you see Lashon Hara there? Where did you see Lashon Hara, right? It says, evil will not dwell in front of you. V'amar Rav Chisda, amar Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba, ma'idik siv lo yiseuna elecha ra. What does it mean when we say evil will not accost you or occur to you? And a plague, disease, illness, this will not be in your tent. This is in the next piece of Gemara. The Gemara did not tell us how we know that Lashon Hara is being referred to. All it uses is the word Ra. Lo yigurcha Ra. The Gemara understands that that means Lashon Hara. Right? We'll have to see exactly how that is established. So let's understand this. We have four groups. Let's just revise the question. We got four groups that do not receive the Shekhinah. I'm going to change the order slightly with your permission, and you'll see why. Right? First, we have Kat Leitzim. We have Kat Chanefim. Let's start with that. We have flatterers. That's the first category. The second is Kat Leitzim, mockers and scoffers. The third is liars, Shakronim. And the fourth is Mesapre Lashon Hara. Those are four categories that are not receiving the Shekhinah. Now, the questions are, why do these four not receive the Shekhinah? What is unique about them? Secondly, obviously, what do they have in common? Right? Otherwise, it wouldn't have been listed together. Thirdly, why are they in this perek in the Gemara, which is talking about no share in the world to come? This is talking about not receiving the Shekhinah. And the fourth question we can ask is, what are these connected to idolatry, avodah zara? Because that was the subject that we've been talking about, the kings who were into terrible idolatry. That's been the subject for a long time in this Gemara, and therefore there must be some connection, right? Strongly suggesting that these four sins are parallel to dimensions of Avodah Zarah. That would be very nice if we could show that. Those are our questions. Well, let's try to analyze. First of all, what do they have in common? You know, again, whenever you learn a Gemara that deals with Agadot, there's a certain classic way to approach it, right? The wrong way to approach is to say, well, we had Rav Chisda Amar Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba before, so now we're collecting all his sayings together. And he said four very nice Musa things. Don't be a liar, don't be a scoffer, don't talk. Very nice. Huh? We need to do better than that. We want to see very, very tightly and specifically. This is Gemara after all, right? Gemara works in a very, very logical fashion, and the principles of organization are always there. So we need to know, first of all, what's the name of the game? What's the sugya? What are we put your finger on the essence. If you can put your finger on the absolute essence here, all of them will be explained. So what connects all these things together? What's unique about them? What's in common? Oh, very good. Good. So we can start with the first point is that they're all sins of speech. Obviously, these are all sins of speech. The first is chanef. Chanifa. Chanufa means you say to somebody, you tell him, you express yourself in the wrong fashion. Instead of saying you did something bad, you say that was fine. You work for a guy. He does something in business that's problematic, right? Where one of his clients is going to not get the best that he could, and he says to you, as an employee, he says to you, how was that? And if you say, boss, that was dishonest, you're going to be out on your ear without a reference, right? And you say, boss, that was a smart move. You say, smart move, boss. Right? That is a terrible sin. Terrible sin. By the way, what should you do in a circumstance like that? Your boss says to you, how was that? And you know he did bad. You know if you tell him it was bad, he can't tolerate that, you're out. What should you do?
Can you keep your mouth shut?
Do what?
Can you keep your mouth shut?
Yes. At least don't say it was good. At least. At least find a way to say it. But to be a flatterer, if you keep silent and you don't criticize him, you're missing the mitzvah of tochacha, rebuke. That's one problem. But to flatter him and say it was good, that is, you mamish not accepting the shkina. A person who does not give tochacha, he does not, a person who not receive the shkina. It's not good. And you have to think about that. But to tell him it was good when it was bad, he did an immoral thing and you told him it was moral, that is a terrible problem of Hanifa. The Gemara says elsewhere, you may remember that unborn children curse such a person. Do you remember that? We had a previous Gemara that said, Ubrim shibim e'imon, children in their mother's wombs, curse two people. Do you remember? There are two people, I'm sure you've been in Chazorah in this perek repeatedly, there are two people who get cursed by unborn children. People who are flatterers, and it's Rebbe who doesn't teach Torah when he could. Hamoneah halacha mipi talmid. Somebody who could teach Torah and refuses to teach. You could improve somebody, you could help him, you could teach him, and you say, who am I to teach? I'm not going to share my knowledge. Those two categories, what's in common between those two, we'll have to discuss. We'll get them. So sure.
There are no good reasons why you would flatter somebody?
There's one very good reason, to save your life. If the guy puts a gun to your head and says, how is that? You say, smart move, boss. That is probably acceptable. You save your life, baby, yeah.
Is it forbidden only regarding Jews or Gentiles?
That's a good question. This is a general problem. To say to a non-Jew who did something bad in his terms that a non-Jew should not have done, immoral thing in his world, and you tell him it was moral, you're harming him. Absolutely, not allowed to do that. Not allowed to do that. This is not like a category of Lashon Hara, which is specifically Jews. Right, we'll see that. But to flatter somebody when somebody needs moral correction and you tell him that he did good when he did bad, that's a very, very serious question. And we'll have to examine why do unborn children curse such a person? That needs discussion. But that is called Chanifa. Chanufa. How do you say it? Chanifa? Chanufa. Chanifa? Ma? Chanufa, yeah. So that is, a chanef is somebody who is, so these are all sins of speech. Secondly, leitzanus, you are mocking, that is also a sin of speech. Of course, speech doesn't have to be with the mouth, right? You can do it with gestures. You can do it with gesture. Your boss says, how is that? You say, that's, yeah. Speech is expression, doesn't have to be with the mouth, right? As you express yourself, that is called a problem of speech. So that's the second. The third is liars. Classic sin of speech, right? You lie. Something is one way and you say it's another way. And fourthly, Lashon Hara is the classic, perhaps the worst in one way. Gemara says it's worse than murder and idolatry and immorality, right? Terrible, terrible sin of Lashon Hara. In many ways, much worse than telling lies. That is the fourth area of speech that is banishing the Shekhinah from your presence. Now, we have four things that have something in common, and that is speech, right? Let's ask a few questions. Why speech? Why does sins of speech banish the Shekhinah? And the answer is because the world is speech. The world is Hashem's speech. The world, everything in the world is Hashem speaking. Called davar, everything that's a davar in the world is an object, but davar is a word. So every davar, how do we know? The Torah says that every word of Hashem is a thing in the world. Everything in the world was a word that Hashem created, spoke to create it, right? How do we know this? Because the pasuk says, "Kol davar asher yavor ba'esh." Kol davar asher yavor ba'esh. When the Torah talks about everything that needs to be purified, let's say you capture, when they captured booty, they captured objects from Midian, jewelry and gold and so forth and so on, right? There's a law that it had to be put in a mikveh or burnt if it was. They had it purified, right? Since the idolaters had used these things, they needed to be purified. And what does the law say? Kol davar asher yavo ba'esh, anything that was put in fire, then you need to put that in fire to purify it. All the laws. So the Gemara says, kol davar afilu klei shir, even musical instruments. How did you get a musical instrument from davar? Anything that can speak, that can express itself. A musical instrument talks. Therefore, any, you understand? Kol davar asher yavo ba'esh, anything that goes in a fire. Well, that means pots and pans and jewelry. How does it mean a trumpet or a musical instrument? Because a davar, we learn from this that a thing that can utter a sound, that can express itself, is called a davar. It's a thing. That's the commonality between these two concepts. And therefore, Hashem speaks in the world, everything that He speaks as a davar manifests as a davar object in the world. The world is Hashem's speech. How did He create the world? Vayomer Elokim. He said, so we think it means He announced, let there be light. Doesn't mean He announced. He said or, and the davar or became the davar, the word light became the thing light in the world, right? Every object in the world, and that's the power of speech. That's why when you speak, you create, right? When you speak, you create. This is why we so fuss not to say things. Even we say chas v'shalom, we say we don't want to say something because when a tzaddik, for example, makes a curse, even on a t'nai, and the t'nai doesn't happen, the curse happens anyway because he said it, right? When Yaakov said, he never intended it. He said, anybody that the Trophim are found with should die. Rachel died because of that, right? Rachel died. He didn't mean that at all. But words, today our words are so cheap, they create very little. Very little, right? But to say something, you know, the Gemara, even when the Gemara wants to say, let's say, there's a line that says, you are, and then it says, let's say, cursed. So it'll switch it into the third person. You shouldn't even say that to somebody, even though you're not even talking about him. You're suddenly, or it says that, had this happened, the Jewish people would have been destroyed.
The enemies of the
Jews would have been destroyed. That doesn't mean the enemies, it means us. But we wouldn't say that, right? So we're very, very concerned about how you speak in the world, let alone unclean speech. We live in a world where this is terrible. I mean, terrible today. It's ridiculous. I mean, there used to be a time when on the BBC, right, the children could listen to it. It would be, see, there's nothing today. There's no media. There's all the words are acceptable, and of course it's so clean and pure speech, that is the essence. And we discussed this many times, that speech is the connection between the spiritual and the physical, done with the mouth, which is the organ of connection, kissing, eating, that connects worlds. Speaking is, right, even speaking words that are just unnecessary, never mind bad or unclean, just unnecessary words. The Zohar calls it wasting seed. It's like wasting seed. The Zohar says, teaching a Talmud she'enu hagun. A Rebbe teaches a Talmud whose Talmud is wasting seed. Because what is this? The mouth is the organ of connection in the higher world, parallel to the bris milah mechanism, which is the organ of connection in the lower world. In the lower world is a mechanism of creation. In the higher world, the lower world is creating the body of the child. The higher world is creating the mind of the Talmud. Right? Those are the two. That's why you regard your Rebbe as your father. And that's why you regard your Rebbe as more your father than your father. The father brings you into the world materially. The Rebbe brings you into the world spiritually. There's a higher, of course, the ideal is the father should be the teacher too. The father should bring his child into the world and he should give him Torah as well. That's exactly what should happen today. We use teachers as the proxies of the parents. But that's the way it's meant to be. So speech is the absolute core. We just came out of Pesach, right? What does the Zohar call Pesach? Galut HaDibur. It was the exile of speech. That's what was in exile. The Jewish people, speech was in exile, right? As you say, Pesach is talking. We correct it by the... How do we correct that exile? We free speech, and what do? We spell the whole night. The Rambam says, the more you talk at the Seder, the more you speak, the better. Normally, we want to speak short. The words are more precious when they're short. You don't want to speak a lot. But here we are releasing speech. How did the world begin, by the way? Hashem spoke it. When Hashem destroyed the world in the flood, how did He recreate it? With a teva. Tevat Noach, the word teva means the word. The Zohar says it wasn't a boat floating on the water, it was the word of Hashem that recreated the world. In the word, teva is a word. So we chose the ark floated on the water. But the Zohar says it was the word of Hashem expressing itself on the incoherent world of destruction. The word starts creation again, right? And therefore the human being is a medaber. You have doimim, tzomeach, chai, medaber. The highest level of human is, he is the highest level of existence in the world, speaking. The human being is a speaking being. That is what's unique about the human being. Once I had a professor of anatomy. He's a very world-famous anthropologist. World-famous. Many research finds on primitive humans. So once he gave a special public lecture on the evolution of the human being, and he proved incredibly elegantly from skulls, primitive skulls, that he himself made the discovery of many of these skulls in South Africa. He showed in this lecture how the human skull was evidence that the unique development of the human being was the development of speech. What he did was he showed the impressions on the skull of the areas of the brain that govern speech. that particular area on the left side of the brain, that is the speech area, he was able to show that as the monkeys progressed to humans in his model, he was able to show that the unique feature, the characteristic defining feature that made human evolution was development of speech. Right? What's unique about people is that they speak. So after the lecture, he's a Jewish person, of course. After the lecture, I went to thank him because I was a student of his years before. And as he saw me approaching as a religious fellow, he said, in a humble, with a kind of a wavy smile, he said, "I'm sure it says that in the Talmud, right?" I said, "Yep, you could have asked me. You could have asked me."
Well, it says that the monkeys evolved into speakers.
Yeah. No, that's what he said. That's what he said. But we understand, in fact, that the uniqueness of the human is that it's a speaking being. Of course, it's a medaber, right? So that is the uniqueness of speech. So these four are destroying the world. They keep the Shekhinah at bay. The Shekhinah is expressing itself in the world. When you use speech in a negative fashion, you keep the Shekhinah out of the world. The world is no longer able to speak its truth because you're destroying that. That's the thing. Now, stay with me. Stay with me. Listen carefully. Make my day. Why four? Please. Make my day.
How about you?
Why four? Why four groups that do not receive the Shekhinah? Why must there be four groups that misusing speech mean that the Shekhinah is kept out of the world? Why four groups? Chanefim, flatterers, leitzonim, mockers and scoffers, shakronim, liars, dovrei loshon hara.
Just using the speech for the wrong thing.
Why four? Why not five or 15?
Because those are the four areas that you can use speech in the wrong way.
And why are there four of them?
Because they're all five.
There's probably four positive ones.
Is it because the way we speak, there's four types of signs?
They're not, they're five. They're five. And why are there those four?
Teeth, lips, tongue.
What do you think these four are likely to parallel? The four letters of Hashem's name. And when you misuse these, you don't let that name speak in the world. In other words, yeah, you keep the Shekhinah, you keep Hashem out of the world. What is the Shekhinah? The Shekhinah is the expression of Hashem in the world, right? The Shekhinah is the feminine aspect of Yudke Vavke, is what Hashem is. When He speaks in the world, and he functions in the world, the Shekhinah is manifest. So when you attack each of these four sins of speech, keeps one letter of Hashem's name out of the world. So that name does not speak. Hashem is the name. The name cannot be spoken in the world. Each of these sins is blocking one letter of Hashem's name. And that's what the Maharal says. The Maharal says, I'll show you how each of these is attacking one of the letters of Hashem's name. Right? The beauty of that is to show you, it's not just... Gentlemen, whenever you see four, you shouldn't give me all these speeches. Four letters of Hashem's name. The Pesach Seder. Why are there four cups of wine? Why are there four questions? This Pesach is when Hashem, Shmi Hashem, lo nodati lahem, they never knew my name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. At Pesach, now are experiencing my name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. And the whole Pesach Seder is a manifestation of that name, Hashem. Why are there four parshas in the Tefillin? If I wake you up at 3 in the morning and I shake you, wake up, why is it four parshas? You should have four letters of Hashem's name. Think about that. That is the Sheresh, right? And four always means five, of course, we've explained that, right? The fifth is the first one, the Kutzah Shel Yud, that brings it into being. But... yes, any four in the world. Any time. Gentlemen, the principles of Machshava, they must be clear in your mind. And therefore the Maharal teaches you how to do this. He takes this Gemara and he says that if you're keeping Hashem's name out of the world, there will be four elements that will do it. Now, let's go through the four letters. Let's understand which of these sins is keeping which letter of Hashem's name out. It's a slightly different order that's mentioned in the Gemara. That needs a little thought. But the way the Maharal puts it is like this. The first letter, the Yud, right? That is keneged chanefim, chanufa. When you flatter, you're destroying the yud. Let me say what they are, and then we'll try to analyze them. The first letter of Hashem's name, the yud, a flatterer keeps that out of the world. He attacks the root. That the yud, we'll see what that is. A flatterer is destroying that. The next is a mocker, the first hay. So mockery, leitzonus, a person who breaks that down, a person breaking down covered in the world. That's what Leitzonus is. It's a mockery. It makes belittles everything. He's attacked the first hay. The next is shakronim. A person who tells lies destroys the vav. The vav is called the ois emes. It's called the letter of truth. The vav is called the letter of truth. A liar destroys that. And the speaker of lashon hara destroys the final hay. Hashem's gilui in the world, right? The malchus, that which appears in the world, a person who speaks lashon hara destroys Hashem's manifestation in the world completely. What do these four letters mean? Let's try to understand them, and then we'll see why each of these people is destroying one of those manifestations. Of course, you don't need to do all four, right? You do one of them, the name is not manifest.
Yeah.
It's just one of them is destroying it, right? But of course, each one is an attack on at a different level of the system. What do these four letters mean? The first Yud in Hashem's name is called Keser. That's the crown. That's where oneness is manifest, right? The Yud is absolutely compressed. It's one dot. That's all a Yud is. It's where everything is compressed into oneness. It's the beginning of Gilui of Hashem's oneness. Hashem's oneness in the world, that will be all the parts of the world unified to show one thing, that begins its assertion in the Yud. The Yud is so intensely unified you can't see any parts. It's just a dot. That's all it is, a minimal speck of ink. That's what the Yud is, right? That's the Yud. The Hay is where that manifests in the world. Hashem's covered in the world. His glory in the world is where the Hay manifests, right? That's called Hay Eloah. The high, you have two Hays, Hay Eloah, Hay Tatoah. The Hay Eloah, that's the first Hay in the world. That's where the Yud, the oneness of Hashem, manifests in all its glory, right? And that is the root of all creation, right? The root of all creation is the Hay. Behi Baram. Eile told us Hashemayim V'aretz, Behi Baram. If you look in the word Behi Baram in the Sefer Torah, the Hay is written small. So it reads, Behi Baram. With five, He created them. Right? With five, He created them. Also, reverse the letters, Be'Avraham. Avram got the hay to make him Avraham. And Be'Avraham, with the hay, Hashem created the world. On his shoulders. Right? That's Avraham. And Behi Baram. Behi Baram. Hashem created the world with five. That's why there's five Chumashim. Each one is a different aspect of the five creations. The Medrash says, Hashem revealed himself in the world. He revealed his light in the world. And that's why the Torah begins with five words, or. Each word, or, that the Torah uses is a different chumash. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. Breshis came into being. Vayehi Or. Shmois came into being. A reflection of Breshis, exactly the way Hashem wanted. The Jewish people being formed exactly parallel to his plan. Vayomer Elokim Esa Or. Ki Tov. Hashem looked at the light and saw it was good. Right? How's it go? Yehi Or. Vayehi Or. Right? He saw the light that it was good. Vayikra. What is Vayikra? The Mishkan, where Hashem Mamash appears and His light shines from the menorah out into the world, is Vayikra. Vayavdel Elokim Ben Haor Ben HaChoshech, the separation of light and dark. Bamidbar, where everything goes crazy, right? The Bamidbar is where all the problems arise going through the desert, the separations. And Vayikra Elokim Laor Yoim. And Hashem called the day, He gave it a name, and He called the light daytime. That was the final, or Devarim is being formed, right? So the Torah starts with five words of light. Each of them, says the Medrash, is the root of another, or writer, or right, oi raisa, is Torah, meaning that which reveals Hashem's light in the world, right? So He created the world with five. Is always, when Yosef said to the people of Egypt, Hei lachem zera, was ratem et adama, Hei lachem, here is seed, go and plant, Hei lachem, five. He's giving seed, the seeds that plant the whole world, the expression is Hei, right? The beginning of speech is always Hei. Before any sound comes out of your mouth, there's the sound of the breath itself, which is the Hei. All, yeah, but Hei Bra'am, everything starts with Hei. So the first Hei is Hashem's covered, that is the higher. That's the higher world. That's called Imma, if you like. Right? You have the first is called Abba. That's the Yud. Right? That's the oneness of Hashem. That's where the seed is given. The man gives the seed. Then you have the woman. She builds the whole pregnancy. The whole structure is built from her. Then you have the Vav Ketzavos, six sides of the world. That's the letter of truth, Vav. That what is above is going to be expressed below accurately, not betrayed.
Is that why all what? The columns in the Sefer Torah, almost all of them start with a Vav?
Do they?
Most of them. That's the majority.
I'll tell you this, there are six special columns in the Sefer Torah.
That don't.
Oh, they don't. Bekashmoy. No, the last one does. Bekashmoy.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, those six need a special thing. Maybe it is, I don't know. But anyway, the Ois Emes, the Vav, is the letter of truth. What does it do? Connects the first hay with the second hay. What is truth? That what is the reality is what is I express. The way it is here is the way I say it on the outside. Chanufa's unique treachery of that. Chanufa is not only that I think one thing and I say a different thing on the outside, but I think that you're a bad person and I say you're a good person. That's a special dimension, right, of problematic. But lies, what's a lie? It's one thing. What's being expressed is not the way that it is. There's a reality, and my expression does not map to the reality, right? Vav is a straight line. Connects the higher world to the lower world. Vav is the letter of truth. And that is, as it is above, so it is below. That is called Vav, which is the full measure of reality. The Vav Ketzavot, the six sides of reality. And finally, the Gilui in the world is the second hay. That reflects the first hay. The way it was in plan is the way it is. Sof Maaseh Machshavah Tchila, the perfect matching of the final hay, that's what it is. Now let's understand how each of the groups is attacking one of those. The first group is Chanufa, right? Instead of the oneness of Hashem in the world, that means where Hashem's oneness is manifest completely, where the thing is, right, the way Hashem wants it is going to be revealed in the world perfectly. A person who flatters is breaking that down in a terribly immoral fashion. What he's doing is, right, instead of the unification of thought and action, he's using it to do terrible harm in the world. He's telling a person who's bad that he's good, and he's completely distorting the root, right, where what you are on the outside and what you are on the inside is echad bepeh, echad belev. He knows this person did an immoral action, and he's saying he did a moral action, right? So there's a particularly odious breakdown between the way he sees it inside, the way he says it outside, and that has terrible consequences in the world. And that we'll see. Mitzvah Shem will study the problem of flattery in detail and see how this expresses it. But that's at the root. The second is kavod. Kavod, yeah, glory. That is where Hashem's inner. What is kavod? Kavod is always that the inner content is revealed on. Kavod is inner content revealed on the outside. In a kavodika fashion, in the right way. In other words, when a person is revealed on the outside, like glorious, beautiful clothing, and etc., but inside there's nothing, that's not real honor. If a person's honored only because of the exterior, that's a real disgrace. On the other hand, if a person is tremendous content and none of that can be seen at all in the world, there's no honor can be given to that. Again, honor always comes from the outside. Kavod is always given from somebody else. You cannot be mechabed yourself. The Maharal says if you try to honor yourself, there's no greater humiliation. That's why the Maharal says, when Chazal say that somebody who's honored is someone who flees from honor. The only person who's genuinely honored in the world is a person who runs away from honor. Says the Maharal, why? Because a person who seeks honor all the time, there's no greater humiliation than that. Person who's trying to honor himself the whole time, there's no greater humiliation than that, right? Therefore, only a person who runs away from it.
Does Hashem need our honor?
Absolutely. That's why he created the world. Akol bara lichvodo. He created the whole world because you can only be honored by somebody outside of you who does not have to honor you. When you're one of these dictators in the Middle East, holds a gun to people, says, say I'm great, and you say you're great, I'll build a statue of you. See, inwardly, there's no greater disgrace than that. Right, as soon as the dictator's out of the way, they smash the statues. Real dignity is when you put somebody at a distance, he's totally free, and he shows you honor out of his own free will. So Hashem created us with free will to slap him in the face and disgrace him, or to express his honor. Hakol bara lichvodo. You can only generate honor from somebody who does not have to do it and is choosing to do it in response to what you genuinely are. Right? Kavod is the secret of the world. You know, in Kabbalah, Kavod is Chaf Bet Vav Dalet. The 10 Sfirot joined by the 22 letters. Vav Dalet, 10 Sfirot. Chaf Beis, the 22 letters. That's the 32 pathways of Lamed Bet Netivot Pliot Chochmah, like it says in Sefer Yetzirah. The 32 amazing pathways of mystical wisdom in the world. Those are the 32 levels of creation, and the whole world was built for that, right? The whole world was built for Hashem's glory. What is Hashem's glory? Who he genuinely is, that has a gilui on the outside. Dignity and honor is always genuine content reflected on the outside, only partially. When you reflect, you go around showing everything that you are, that's a humiliation. If you don't show anything, nobody can honor you. a real dignity. How do you honor a great Talmid Chacham? Because you see something of his wisdom and you realize that, wow, every bit you appreciate, you realize how much more there must be. When you appreciate somebody and you see that, all that there is all that you see. There's nothing more than that. He's empty. He's an empty person.
So that's why COVID had to say, I can show more.
Yes, exactly. I will show even more. Real dignity is when you see the person's inner quality manifest, but only partially. For every amount you see revealed, you realize there's even more than that. Right? That is the delicate balance of kavod, and it can only come from somebody on the outside who is showing you that kavod. And therefore, Hashem needs us. And therefore, that is the hay of Hashem's plan to reveal himself in the world. And somebody who is a mocker, a scoffer, he's breaking down. What does the Talmud say? The Gemara says, one mocking word can break 100. A person can give a lecture of 100 incredible points of self-development, musa, etc. And one idiot who makes some stupid joke belittles the whole thing smashes, right? There's no worse characteristic. That's why you're not allowed to use mockery. You're not allowed to use leitzanut except against idolatry. Because idolatry is the mockery. When we see how all of these four methods of idolatry, we'll see how each of these is connected one facet of Avodah Zarah. This one's obvious. Idolatry is a mockery of Hashem. He's not God. This is God. Some fetish, some piece of stone or some manifestation or something in the world. So the only thing you're allowed to mock is mockery, which is mockery of Hashem. But otherwise, you're breaking down Hashem's covenant in the world, and that is the dignity of Hashem. By the way, we can't avoid mentioning that we are now going through 32 days of Sfira, which is to build Kvod Shamayim. The Kavod, which equals 32, Chaf Beis Vav Dalet, is built in the first 32 days of the Sfira, because you're building Hashem's dignity and Kavod in the world. The 33rd day, it's all done. The light can be lit, the bonfires are lit, Hashem Bechai can leave the world, because the inner glory of Hashem, what is revealed in the first 32 days? The wisdom of Kabbalah. What is Lag Ba'omer? It's the day when Kabbalah, what is Kabbalah? It's the inner facet of Torah, the deep secret aspect, that has some revelation on the outside. That is why. And why did Rabbi Akiva's Talmudim die? Because they didn't give kavod to you. Oh, 32 days of kavod. Yeah. 32 days when kavod is being built in the world. That's why they were held accountable. That's exactly what should have been built, right? In the world, and therefore, in some incredibly refined fashion, they did not build kavod. That is why they disappeared. So that is these are the 32 days. 32 is always the inner aspect of the world. The name Elohim is mentioned 32 times in Bereshis. Bereshis bara Elohim, Vayomer Elohim. 32 times, that's the name of creation. Lev, the heart. What is the heart? The inner aspect that is fueling and powering all. Mimenu totzot chayim. Mimenu totzot chayim. From the lev, bechol mikol mishmar netzor libecha. Guard your heart from all guardings. Ki mimenu totzot chayim. Because from the heart, life pours out, right? The heart always must be guarded, because that is where life comes into the world. Lev is 32. You have 32 teeth, by the way, because 32 teeth is where the inside and the outside are joining, right? On Shabbat, in Shabbat, if there's an injury outside the teeth, not life-threatening. An injury inside the teeth, you can break Shabbat, right? Yeah, that's called makash al halal. It's an inner injury. The teeth, 32 teeth, borderline between the secret inner dimension, the revealed outer dimension. That is what 32 is. That is called the lev, the 32 aspects of reality. And aleph is 32, isn't it? And aleph is two yuds. And vav. So it's 12 and 20. Two yuds, aleph.
You've got two yuds here. Yeah.
Well, you've got two yuds.
Yeah.
The vav is vav.
The vav. Yeah.
So that's 32. So the aleph is... The aleph is really the 32. And Hashem begins the creation with the aleph. And that is the 32. So the Sefer Yetzirah begins. Sefer begins like this: Belamed Beis Nesivus Plius Chochma. Belamed Bet Netivot Pliot Chochma. Hashem created the world. That's how it begins. The Sefer Yetzirah, Book of Creation. Hashem began the world with 32 Netivot pathways, Pliot, amazing, miraculous pathways of wisdom. 32. What are they? 10 Sfirot joined by 22 letters. These are the 32 things that build the world, and therefore, a person who is a scoffer is attacking all of that. He mocks it. He breaks down that dignity, which is where the inner content of the yud expresses itself in a hay. He doesn't allow that to come into, right? What is Amalek? Amalek is the ones who scoff and they mock the mockers, right? So they attack. Kiyad al Keska. The hand of Amalek is on the Yud Kei. Doesn't allow it to come down and reveal the covet in the world, right? And that's why Amalek is breaking down the root of creation. That's why their punishment is Va'acharisoi Adei Oive. They will be completely destroyed in the end. Since they're breaking down the root of creation, that is the mockery of reality, and that is the, by the way, just to see it, Amalek is Amal Koif, the work of the monkey. What is a monkey? Mockery of the human. What is the monkey? He looks human. What greater mockery is there of the human form than a monkey who looks human but completely mindless? He's completely animal and he looks human, right? That's the mockery of the, whenever the Gemara wants to say something is a mockery of something else, it says kakof bifnei Adam. You want to say that something is a mere mockery of something that's real, you say it's like a monkey compared to a human, right? You want to say Sarah's beauty was like, compared to Eve's?
No, it's not like that.
Compared to Eve's beauty? Is like a monkey compared to a human. This is talking about the, right? The work of the monkey is the mockery of the human. Right? That's why people go to the zoo to see the monkeys, right? Because they see some, it's a mocking, that's what it is. Anyway, so the point is that that monkeys need to be discussed. That's a special creation in the world. The next group is Shakranim, liars. That's the Vav. The Vav is the letter of truth. But for example, how do you see that? You see that when Rachav, right? When the spies came to her, the good spies, so when they left, they made a pact. They said, we will spare your lives if you do not blow our cover. You protect us, we'll come back, we'll spare you and your family. So she said, they said, V'nasatem ois emes, give me a sign of truth. And they gave the Vav. The red thread that was out of the window, the straight line, that enables the bottom to reach the top to reach the bottom, the Ois Emes, the letter of truth, is the Vav. Why? First of all, the Vav is the six sides of reality. The truth is always from beginning through the middle to the end. The truth always, right? What's Emes? Aleph, the beginning of the alphabet, Mem, the middle letter, Taf, the end. You know that's famous, right? Sheker, three letters together, just a piece of the reality, reversed. Kuf, Resh, Shin. Sheker, Shin, Kuf, Resh. Just a little bit, piece of the puzzle, distorted, and pretending to be the truth. Sheker always has some truth in it. Otherwise, it wouldn't. Sheker that admits that it's Sheker is not a problem. Always the Sheker claims to be the truth. You know, the Gemara says Sheker has no legs.
Yeah.
No legs. MS has legs. The Aleph stands on a flat base. The Mem has a flat base. The Taf has two legs. MS, Sheker, Shin, no legs. Point. Kuf, point. Resh, point. And the whole letter stands on the one leg of the Sheker en lo raglaim. Tony has one leg. Yeah. But Emes, Aleph, Mem, Taf. So the Vav goes from the beginning through the middle to the end. The Vav Ketzavot, the six sides of reality. You know what's exquisitely beautiful? Someone have a siddur over there? See a siddur? I'll show you something beautiful. You know, on Shabbat morning, we say Psukah de Zimra, right? Psukah de Zimra. There's one piece of Tehillim there written by King David when he pretended to be crazy. Thank you. Thank you very much. So Shabbat morning we say this, right? This is very beautiful. Thanks. It says that we say the Pesukah de Zimra. On Shabbos morning we say like this. One of the things we say is Le David B'shanoisa is time olifna Avimelech, when David pretended to be crazy in front of Avimelech. Avimelech wanted to kill him. He captured him. And in order... No, you're thinking that was Yishbi Benoiv. Anyway, Avimelech wanted to kill David. But when David pretended to have lost his mind, he thought, there's no need to kill him. He's an insane individual. So he saved his life by pretending. But pretending to be crazy is a lie when you're not. It's a lie. He projects himself as crazy when in fact he's sane. I'm not complaining. This capital goes through the Aleph base. No Vav.
Oh,
yes. No Vav. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld says it goes like this. It says, Aval ches Hashem b'chol eis, b'Hashem tisal nafshi, God lul Hashem iti, darashti es Hashem, he beat to Elav, next one, ze oniv kara, no vav. Says Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, since David was using sheker to pretend to be crazy when he wasn't, when he composed the piece that talks about it, he couldn't use a vav. Because the vav is the ois emes. Of course, the deep meaning is, the real deep meaning is, David gives us Tehillim to connect to him. Yeah, the vav is the letter of connection in emes. The vav is the letter, vav in Hebrew means a hook. Vav means a hook. Vav means and. In English you call it conjunction. A vav connects two words together. Vav is the letter of truth because it connects what is with what you express. What's the connection? What's the connection between truth and connection? The definition of truth is the way it is the way I say. There's no disjunct between the two. It is that way and that's the way I say it. It is this here and this is the way I say it. So the truth is a true connection between the way the thing is and the way I express it, the way I see it and the way I say it. Echad b'lev, echad b'peh. That's what it is. So you connect to David through the middle of Emes. The Vav is the letter of truth, which connects you to the source correctly. That letter to it, David wrote this capital to celebrate a lie, which was necessary to save his life. There's no Vav. We cannot connect to David in that middle of Sheker. We connect to him in the middle of Emes, right? Exquisite. By the way, I noticed, that's what he said of Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. That's a famous idea that he put here. I noticed in going through it that almost every line has Hashem's name, but there's no vav. In other words, for example, Avacha is Hashem. Second, Ba'Hashem tisal nafshi. Third, God lul Hashem. Fourth, Darashti is Hashem. The fifth one, Hibitu Elav v'naharu, Ufneim, yeah. And the sixth one, which the vav is missing, but in the seventh one, Ze ani kara v'Hashem shamer. The vav is connected to Hashem's name. You know, it suggests to me, in Ashrei, there's no Nun.
Yeah.
Because Nun stands for falling. Nafla lois soisiv kum besuris Israel. The young maiden of the Jewish people has fallen, she will never arise. Right? So we don't say that, right? So in Ashrei, think for homework why Dafke in Ashrei you wouldn't want the Nun. I mean, you have the Nun in every other alphabetical thing. Why don't we have the Nun in Ashrei? Think about that. But we say Ashrei has no Nun, but the next one, Samach, is Samech Hashem L'chol HaNoiflim. All the Noiflim that we didn't want to say in Nun, we put them into the next one, that Hashem upholds those all who fall. In other words, the rising of the fallen we do say, right? In the next verse. Yeah, so here we don't say Avav, because David Amar is talking about Sheker, but in the next one, here we express Hashem's name, but for the first time we express it with a vav in front of Hashem's name. Anyway, be that as it may. That's a famous statement of Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. So the vav is the ois emes, and therefore a shakranim are attacking the vav of Hashem's name. Now listen to this. What does the vav do? It connects the first hay with the last hay. That's what the vav does. Yud kay, vav kay. So the first hay is the way it is in the mind. That's called bino. And the last hay is the way it is in the world, in malchus. The vav brings the one into the other. So a shakran breaks the vav. The vav is the letter that connects. There's yud, that's the root. How does it express itself? A hay. That's Hashem's hay. But he wants the world to look the way he is. The vav brings the hay down into the hay, right? Hey Yiloh, hey Tator. So a shakran breaks that. He does not allow the first hay to manifest as the second hay. It expresses itself one way in the outside. That's not the way it is on the inside. And therefore, the vav is the es emes. The vav is the letter of truth. And chesamo shel HaKadosh Baruch emes, the signature of Hashem. The seal, Hashem's signature is truth. Right? It manifests in the world. If there's sheker, you keep that signature out of the world. So a shakran is doichek ragle shchina. He doesn't allow the shchina to come into the world. He doesn't allow yud kei vav kei to manifest in the world because he's attacked the vav, and therefore there's no gilu emes. And finally, lashon hara. Lashon hara is the worst of anything. And what that does is you're using speech, which is the power of creation, this whole yud kei vav kei that needs to be spoken in the world. You're using speech for harm, not lies. On the contrary, lashon hara is when you say the truth for harm. You say the truth. Lashon hara is not when you say lies. Lies is called motzi shemra. You say he's a bad guy when he's a good guy. Lashon hara is when you say he's an angry guy when he is angry. Using the truth, which means you genuinely using speech, and you're doing damage in the world, right? I always think to myself, it goes like this. We say, Elokai, netzol lashoni meira, usfatai midaber mirma. We say, God, my tongue from lashon hara, and my lips from speaking deceit or lies. Lips are outer organs. They're the outer organs, so they're speaking lies. What is a lie? It's only misafa velachutz. It's from the lips out, but it's not what's inside. But lashon hara is the tongue. That's the inner organ, because lashon hara is when you're speaking true. Then you really, when you speak lies, it's a treachery, a betrayal of speech. You appear to be speaking, but you're not speaking. Speech means taking what's in the mind and expressing it outside. That's what speech is. So lies, the mouth is speaking one thing, but it's not showing what's inside. But lashon hara is. Lashon hara, you're taking real speech. This is the way it really is, and you're saying it in the outside. So you're really using speech and using that for harm in the world. There's nothing worse than that. You're taking the power of creation, the definition of a human being, the way the world was created, and using that to break things in the world. Nothing could be worse than that, right? You know that example, I'll give you an example. The Meraglim, the spies. What was their sin? They spoke bad about Eretz Israel, right? They came into Israel, they spoke bad. The question on that is, there's no law of Lashon Hara against a country. There's no law of Lashon Hara against a country. That's against people. You read through the Chofetz Chaim, you see all the laws. Lashon Hara means you take somebody who does something bad and you reveal it in the world where you're not allowed to reveal it. It's got nothing to do with a country. You cannot speak Lashon Hara about a country. And we learn the whole big deal about Lashon Hara from the Rabbim who spoke bad about a country. Their tongues extended and they died because of the weird disease of their tongues because they spoke Lashon Hara, etc., etc., etc. Motzi dibatar, they spoke bad. You see from this very clearly that the sin of Lashon Hara, the essence of it, is not that you said a bad thing about a person and revealed that in the world. The essence is that you use speech to do harm. That's the essence. The essence. You use speech. You took Eretz Israel, right? The place of the Jewish people. And you use speech to break that down. A derivative of that is that you say a bad thing about a person and reveal that in the world. The root of Lashon Hara is that it's the tongue that is evil. The tongue, the organ of speech, that is the organ of creation, parallel to the bris milah in the body, that should give life to the world, that you are bringing into the world and you're using that. How did man go wrong originally? Because the serpent spoke Lashon Hara. The serpent said, well, Hashem doesn't really mean that. And the serpent distorted, didn't say lies. The serpent did not say lies. You couldn't fool Adam or Ishan with lies. What you fooled him with was a distortion of the truth. The serpent spoke Lashon Hara. And that's where the problem broke down, right?
He also looks like a bob.
What?
Also looks like a bob, but doing it all wrong.
The serpent.
Itself.
The serpent.
It looks like a bob.
It should be a bob.
But
it's twisted, devious. That's right. And therefore, the vav, that's why it's a mate when it's correct. The mate is a branch. And the problem with a branch is it bends away from it bends away from the straightness. Vav, ois, ms, straight from aleph, mem, tav. That's what the ois is. They start bending, they start getting trouble, right? That's why the mate is the root of, the mate was held in Adam Rishon's hand. It's the source of all goodness, Hashem's name on it. You throw it down to the ground because the nachash, which is the root of all evil. Right? And that is where the problem begins. When Hashem reveals his name for the first time to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and Moshe says, how will the people know that I'm speaking truth? MS. Hashem says, throw the mateh to the ground. And he throws the straight mateh to the ground, becomes a nachash, and Moshe flees from it. Not terrifying, because that's the original nachash. And Hashem says, you get it? Now pick it up. Talk about terrifying. Pick it up and manifest it as the mateh again. And as soon as he picks it up, it becomes the mateh. This is the debate between Emes and Shaker. And then he goes to Paro, he's the great liar, and he starts having a debate with him. And therefore, his staff swallows Paro's as a mateh, not as a nachash, of course. This is the assertion of the original, and so forth and so on, you can see. And that's why the mateh has Hashem's name on it. Engraved on the sapir, the sapphire diamond substance of the mateh, Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, was engraved, right? Obviously, this speaks Hashem, etc., etc. That's what it is.
And therefore, connecting to Shemar, like we say, by tzitzis,
That's true as well, by the way, the meaning of tzitzis. is to take a corner and keep it going straight. What's tzitzis? Tzitzis is a reminder when you're about to deviate in the world. When was tzitzis given? After the Meraglim came back and said Lashon Hara, which was bending, using speech to distort the world, Hashem said, put tzitzis on your garments. What is tzitzis? Knaf, when you get to a corner, you put the thing on that goes straight. What is tzitzis? Tzitzis is, yeah, you got a corner and you've got a deviation in the wind. You've got a mate to the side. You guys went wrong. You distorted the straightness of taking the first hay, bringing it to the second hay straight in the world. Put tzitzit on your garments. The corner should not think. Therefore, when you look at the tzitzis, you see it looks like a corner. We continue straight. It's a reminder. You look at them and you remember Hashem, right? That's the meaning of the tzitzis. Is the...
It's another form.
That's why the tzitzis should hang off of that corner, not dangle from the...
It's a continuation of a square corner in a straight line. That's a hemshech, right? Instead of, you should have gone into Eretz Israel straight, from Mitzrayim into Israel. You bent it aside, now you deviate, you're going to spend in the desert. Tzitzis is a reminder that you should have continued, right? That's Eis Emes. That's the letter of truth, and therefore those are breaking, that's truth, and Lashon Hara is where you are taking the truth and distorting it, and you're using speech, which should be used for truth, and you're using genuine speech, and you're using it to do harm in the world. And therefore, there's no greater sin than taking the power of creation, the genuine power of speech, which is how the world was created, and you're using that in order to break down. Very briefly.
The ice press is also straight. Cool. So, sight, is it connected with lighter?
Yeah, a sota.
Yeah. She's doing the wrong thing.
Yeah. All the misuses of the bris, all the misuses, wasting seed, and immorality, connecting wrongly in the world, right? Of course, that is all the power of Bris Miller, which is the Ois Emes. That's what it's supposed to be, yeah. Now, the...
But they're less bad
what?
Than Lashon Hara, because it's a lower rather than the higher.
Lies.
No, the issue of the Bris Miller, let's say.
No, not, oh, you mean that represents the Vav, as opposed to the final hay?
No, I'm saying the harm you do, yes, is, seems to be in the lower level rather than the one
than
on
the higher world,
which is on the higher world.
That could be. That could be. That's why the Gemara says Lashon Hara is worse than Gula Arayos. And finally, how does this all connect to idolatry? Right? What are these four sins, right? So the chanufa that flatters, right? That's flattery, that's one thing inside and different thing on the outside, attacking the yud, right? Idolatry is no greater flattery than that. When you're taking a false thing in the world, right? And you, instead of breaking down idolatry and burning it and destroying it, right? You're setting that up as good in the world. You're saying that this is the reality. There's no greater flattery, right? The second is the covet, Kod Shemayim. The great mockery in the world is idolatry. This couldn't be more clear. The second group of people, those who are leitzonim, they mock us. There's no greater mockery than idolatry. Because it's a mockery of Hashem. It's setting something ridiculous, finite thing up as a god. The third one is lies. There's no greater lie than Avodah Zarah, right? Saying that this thing has independent power when it has no independent power. That's what it is. And finally, Lashon Hara is exactly, there's nothing, it's idolatry. What you're doing is taking things in the world, using the power of Kedusha and of Ruchnius, connection to the source, and using that to do harm in the world, right? You're taking that which it should be Hashem speaking in the world, and you're taking the speech, you connect. Avodah Zarah does connect. It goes to the right place, but doesn't go far enough. Avodah Zarah goes to the intermediary powers in the world, right? And it and claims that these powers that come down into the world through the sun, the moon, the wind, the stars, etc. And what you're doing is you're giving them you're using that power in the world and giving it a distorted gilui, right? And that's the flow of the theme in this Gemara. Avodah Zarah is expressed in these four ways. But the main thing to take out of this is. There are four groups that keep the Shekhinah out of the world. Hashem's name cannot be expressed in the world. Why? Because each of these four is attacking a different letter in this fashion. Okay, stop there.